All right. How's everybody doing tonight? It's good to see you. Pastor Mark sends his love tonight. He is in Florida with his mother, and so he'll be back with us soon. But how many of you know it's important to love your mama? I love you, Mom. I'm sure she's watching. So, amen. We invite you to open your Bible, if you will. We're going to be starting in Psalms 139. Psalm 139. We're going to pick up where we left off when we were last together. Somebody say, I love myself. Does that go crossways with anybody? It shouldn't, should it? Huh? You know, there's a lot of people that would have a problem with you saying that, but they're just wrong in their thinking. Because the Bible says, it's important, there's a balance. You know, the Bible says to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But at the same time, that you know that there's a passage of Scripture that in another translation says, be honest in the estimation of yourself. Well, what's your estimation of yourself? Well, through the eyes of God, it's quite large. Amen. See, there's a difference between being confident in who you are and being conceited. There's a difference. When you're conceited, you think, well, I'm where I'm at because of who I am and what I've done and what I've accomplished. But see, whenever you're honest in the estimation of yourself and the fact that you are who you are because of Him, then you can think highly of yourself. Amen? So we see this in Psalm 139 in verse number 14. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well, for my substance, notice that word, my substance, my frame, who I am, was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. It's another way of saying unformed. So your eyes saw me before I was ever created, the Bible says. And in your book all my members were written, which are in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Boy, I tell you, that just makes you want to stand tall, doesn't it? Somebody say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? Boy, you got to get a revelation of that. Psalm 8:5 says that He has crowned you with glory and honor. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, it talks about how there's vessels of honor and dishonor, but it says you're a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. Amen? So many good things. But see, if you've ever battled with these thoughts contrary to the Word, or if you've ever thought of yourself as worthless or less than or inferior, or you've got a low self-esteem, well, you ought to consider these Scriptures. You ought to write down these Scriptures we're talking about tonight and look at them. Look at them often. Man, more and more people, it just seems like more and more people as we live out this life here on this earth, more and more people are really dealing with this. They're really dealing with insecurity and worthlessness and hopelessness and a negative view of themselves. And see, we're trying to correct that according to the Word. Too many people think, well, I'm just not attractive enough or I'm not good enough, or I don't deserve the best, or nobody in my family ever achieves anything. Nobody will ever love me. Those are true and valid thoughts, no matter how young or how old you are. We're not just talking about things that teenagers deal with. We're talking about things that 60, 70, 80-year-old people deal with, and all points in between. Anybody ever had those thoughts? Sure, we've all been there. But the difference is what do you do when those thoughts come? See, it's so important to accept the truth of God's Word, to accept these truths, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're special to God. So you got to see yourself from His vantage point. You got to see yourself for how He sees you. And of course, one of our key scriptures is found in Isaiah 41:9 that says, He has chosen me, He has not cast me away. Well, you ought to write that one down. You ought to make sure you're reminding yourself about that. Because your life has worth and meaning, and when you do realize this, negative thoughts will begin to disappear and dissipate. Somebody say, He's chosen me. He's not cast me away. Sheila and I recently went through our closets, and And, you know, Sheila has a term around the house. She's not a hoarder. She is quite the opposite. And so, you know, we don't, when you walk into our house, we barely have anything on the wall because she's, you know, she's not a hoarder. Now, she says, I am. I'm not. I just like what I like. But we recently went through our closets just to make some space for some more of her stuff, you know. And so, and if you believe that, you're something else. I noticed she did push her stuff a little bit closer to mine the other day. I lost a little ground, so I guess I got to fill it up. But we were purging clothes. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you start, you know, that doesn't fit anymore, or maybe I hadn't worn that in a while, or maybe that's from college, so I just need to let go of it. You know, that's me. I've got stuff from college that I still wear because it still looks good, you know. No, we get to a point where, you know, those old ratty sweatshirts or pants or jeans that just feel really good. You know, you got that pair of jeans you just wore out, you know, and nothing fits just like them, or those sweatpants you've had forever, right? Well, they've served their purpose. And so Sheila says it served its purpose. Well, that's the way I feel about leftovers. I'm not a big leftover guy. You know, if we ate it once, it's served its purpose. I'm just not a big leftover guy. Well, whenever the word says that he has chosen you, he's not cast you aside. He doesn't treat you like that old pair of pants. Well, he served his purpose. He's about as good as he's going to get for me, so I'm just going to cast him aside. No. What's the Bible say? He saw your beginning and he saw your end, right? Remember, it says he saw you before you were ever formed, and he loved you. He saw your end from the beginning, and he chose you anyways. Oh, thank God for that. And I tell you, every one of us ought to be thankful for that. He saw the end from the beginning and chose you anyways, right? Amen. So the principal thing, go ahead and turn over to Matthew 22. The principal thing that you must learn in order to be a success in life is the commandment of love. And so that's what we've been talking about. In Matthew chapter 22, we're going to read some of this. Matthew 22, starting with verse number 34. It says, "And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. For this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Everybody say, as yourself. But you see, that's kind of the emphasis of what we're talking about, spending a little bit of time on. Notice all these go together. Love God, but it says love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, really you need to flip that around. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor, because you can't love your neighbor if you don't first love yourself. That's what the Bible's talking about. But notice in verse 40 it says, "So on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Have you ever noticed in the New Testament, Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time talking about the Ten Commandments? Actually, what he says a number of times is he said, love fulfills the law. Love fulfills the Ten Commandments, right? And so you find those passages all over the place, but really you got to get a hold of this. If you get that right, if you love God and love your neighbor as yourself, then all those other ones will fall right into line. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't steal, you won't kill, you won't cheat them, right? All those things fall right in line. We gave the example, we were talking about our clothes and our closet. You know, if you don't get the rod right, and you don't get it securely hung in the closet, and you don't have it braced and ready to receive those clothes, then what's going to happen? They're going to fall right off, right? And so get the same kind of picture. You could talk about curtains on a wall. You could talk about a number of things. But if you don't get the bracing right, if you don't get these first two commandments right, then nothing else is going to hang. Nothing else is going to fall into place. Well, you want all those other things to fall into place, don't you? So really what Jesus is saying is, man, I'm making it easy on you. Just walk in love. Just walk in love. And if you walk in love, then all these other things, it's so important to get that right. You know, we do spend some time talking about love the Lord, love God, but really that's not the thing that trips people up. Loving God's, for the Christian, loving God's not the thing that's tripping them up. It's loving others as yourself. That's what trips them up. Are you with me? So you can't truly love anyone else until you first love God and love yourself, because you can't really give what you don't first possess. See, if you don't love yourself, then you can't truly give love to somebody else because you don't know what love is about. You know, there are those that place no value on their own lives, and as a result, they place no value on anybody else's. Think about that. If we have a strong self-worth or self-image, we'll not be threatened by others. There's a lot of competition in this world, a lot of comparisons, a lot of, you know, well, I want to be like them, or I want to attain to them, and you know, social media has really put that in front of us and really in front of our kids, because it's setting a precedent or a standard in front of them that oftentimes is unattainable. And so when you have a strong self-worth, then you're not threatened by everybody else. Another way to say it is, when you understand who you are in Christ, then you're not threatened by those things. Because the opposite of self-worth, having a positive self-worth, is being insecure. Well, if you're insecure, you're in essence telling yourself or telling others that you don't measure up. Well, how many of you know that's not true according to the Word? See, it's all about self-worth. It's all about self-image, the way that we feel about ourselves. So tonight, I want to kind of take this another step here. We're going to see this, that your self-worth starts with your thought life. Self-worth starts with your thought life. And Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Another way to say it is, you will be the person you believe in your heart to be. So how big of a person are you? Well, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So how you see yourself matters. How you think about yourself matters. And the other thing to realize is that your self-image affects every area of your life. Man, I tell you, when you consider this, when you think about your goals, who you're going to marry. You know, I was talking to somebody recently, and they were talking about, you know, their goals for marriage. And you know, this person didn't necessarily think the highest about themselves, so guess what? They didn't necessarily think that they could attain marriage. They didn't think that they could, well, I'll never find the right person, and so I'll just have to settle for the first one that comes along. There's people that live their life that way, live their entire life that way. Man, I like dreamers, don't you? I like dreamers that get into the Word and they find out who they are, and they really, I'm going to reach for the stars. Come on now. It affects your health. It affects your mental health. It affects your relationships. It affects your job. You know, there's certain jobs you won't go after if you don't think you deserve them. People don't go after promotions because they don't think they'll ever get it. Are you with me? See, ultimately, and here's the thing, the negative self-image will affect those around you. It'll begin to draw on your family, your friends, your classmates, your coworkers. I'm so thankful. You know, I look back at where I came from. I came from a small town of 4,000 people. We moved there back in 1986, and I mean, truly is a cow town. You know, a lot of my friends growing up were cattle farmers or cattle ranchers or farmers. They grew cotton and wheat and different things, And so that's the community I grew up in, you know, very, very small community. And so, but in this community, I found, especially later on in my high school years, I found people that challenged me. I found a baseball coach that believed in me. Whenever I would start talking about playing baseball at the college level, he didn't laugh at me. He didn't say, well, you know, nobody in this town ever goes very far. I mean, you're small town good, but you're not that good. No, he believed in me. And so because of that, when I wanted to stay after practice or I wanted to come early, he was all about it, all about helping me out, and all about all about seeing that I progress. I had an art teacher that saw something in me before I ever really got going in his class. I was in middle school, you know, at a different school, not at the high school yet, but he had been at the high school for years and years. And he was an older gentleman at the time and had a reputation. This art teacher had a reputation. You didn't make better than a C in his class. Because, you know, a lot of people, you see, and maybe it is this way at your school, but we had to choose. You could either do music or you could do art. But you had to do one. It was what they call an extracurricular or an elective. It was an elective class. So you had to pick one of those. Everybody had to have art or you had to have music. And so he didn't necessarily like that principal because people didn't want to learn music. They ended up in his class. And so he didn't like the fact that he got those kind of students. And so he made his class very difficult. I'm telling you, not many people made above a C in that art class. Well, I got in there and I just started to excel because I was all about art. I was asking questions and I had some talent. And so as I began to show that talent and began to ask questions and show an interest, then he took an interest in me. Well, you know, all of a sudden he's taking this interest and I began to see, man, I could do something with this. And so he started challenging me as a freshman to start doing, we talked about it last time, about doing bigger pieces of work and entering them in shows. And, you know, people from my small town, we don't enter shows like that. We don't enter the state fair. Are you kidding me? No, he began to push me and began to challenge me, and I began to see that I could do things. Won the Texas State Fair several times. Why? Because I knew I had somebody that believed in me. My mom and dad, they believed in me. They never looked at me and said, you can't. We got to be careful about your words. You got to be careful about what you're saying to your kids and those around you. And maybe you have questions. You just keep them to yourself. You let them dream. Because chances are, if they're dreaming according to the word. Huh? It's funny enough, but I had classmates that believed in me. My junior year, I had some of my classmates put my name in to be senior class president. Well, that wasn't necessarily anything that was on the radar for me. But I won senior class president. So here I am. I'm not somebody that at that time I was actually very laid back. I wasn't somebody that got up in front of people. And so, man, you talk about something that challenged me. You know, all of a sudden I'm going to have to give up and talk in front of whatever our class was, 112, 113 kids, do regular meetings and stuff like that. Well, I had some friends that saw something in me, that challenged me, that pushed me out there, maybe a little bit farther than I wanted to be at times. But they challenged me. They saw something in me. So I began to develop this confidence in me. I really, truly, if you want to say what passage of Scripture in the Bible has meant the most to me, it's what Paul said when he said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, from the time I was in high school, I've taken this quite literal. There's very few things in my life that I come across where I say, you know, I don't think I can tackle that. Now, there's certain things where I know my limits. You know, when it comes to, I've kind of put it on the back burner, but I need to run electricity out to my workshop. Well, I've put it off because I don't do electricity. And it's not because I can't figure it out. I've already Googled it. I've already YouTubed it. I know what I need to do. But I know my limits. There's a difference. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Johnny don't play. I don't want to play with electricity. So there's a difference. You see what I'm saying there? But Paul said it right when he said, I can do all things through Christ. You remember breaking that down, don't you, as a kid, maybe sometime here? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, the whole thing about this passage, when you begin to break it down and understand it, you begin to understand there's nothing that I can't accomplish with God on my side. Amen. Get a hold of that tonight. Maybe you're facing a challenge. Maybe you're facing a promotion. Maybe you're one of those ones I'm talking to that you know, you've been challenged and you've been faced with a challenge and you have some decisions to make. Listen, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It applies to every area of your life. Did you know just before Paul said this here in verse 13. If you back up and look from verse number 6, it said, and this all goes together. It's in the same letter. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry, don't fret. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, now listen to this. Finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So you say, well, he says later, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But just prior to that, he's given you a list to think on to make sure that you get to that point. So if it's negative, if it steals from you, if it's not true, if it's dishonest, if it's evil, and it's not lovely, and if it's an evil report, then he says, don't think on those. So the reality is that there's a list. And if it's not on the list, then you don't need to think it. If it's a negative report, you don't need to think about it. Think about what's on the list. If you consume yourself with stuff that's not on the list, then all of a sudden you're going to become worried and you're going to be fretful. You're not going to have any peace because your mind is not stayed on Him. It's in the other things. Listen, we're still talking about your self-worth. We're still talking about loving yourself. Are you with me? But see, here's the other thing that people do is they begin to surround themselves with people they don't need to surround themselves with. I could have surrounded myself with classmates that didn't see the best in me. People that brought me down. People that left me with as less than ideal. People that didn't care. Are you seeing this? We've all had that friend, haven't we? Been around somebody and you're with them for a period of time and they leave you feeling worse than when you got there. They drain the life out of you. You ever avoided that kind of person? So, oh my goodness, they want to have lunch with me and they just drain me. It's like I got to prepare myself for weeks just to have dinner with them or something. Huh? Come on now. No, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind. You set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. See, we're talking about the mind. Look over at Romans. You're there in Philippians. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Again, don't lose sight of what we're talking about. The second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about having a healthy view of yourself. It all starts with your thought life. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5 and 6 says, they that mind the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, earthly minded, worldly minded, depends on the translation you look after. For to be carnally minded is death. Think about that. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what the Word says, isn't it? And that you're there in Romans, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a Bible study, so we're going to share some scripture with you here. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations. One translation says reasonings. You ever tried to reason your way through something? Casting down imaginations or reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Did you know as long as Satan can hold you in the arena of reasoning, he'll defeat you every time? That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, your own reasonings. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. If you stay in the realm of reasoning, if you try to figure things out on your own and how it's going to come about and how it's going to be accomplished and how the Lord's going to do it, and you go down that track, guess where that leads to? leads to death. And if he can keep you in that arena, he'll defeat you every time. So what's the word say? Proverbs 28:25 says, he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Remember, we said last time, there's a good fat. That's it. Verse 26 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Whoso walks wisely shall be delivered. Amen. See, you got to get rid of your own stinking thinking. You got to find out what the Word says and stick with the Word. See, the enemy would love nothing more than to put insecure thoughts in your mind. I mean, if you know, there's a real battle going on every single day, a battle of the mind. It takes place daily. Paul had this revelation when he said this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He said, in whom the God of this world, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, what does that mean? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. In other words, the blinded mind keeping the light from coming. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil has one purpose in this world. You know what that is? To blind your minds from the truth. Because if he can blind your mind from the truth, then he can keep you in the arena where you're reasoning, where you're trying to figure it out on your own. There's a passage of Scripture in 1 John 2, very similar. 1 John 2, verse number 8, says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Sound familiar? A new commandment I write unto you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shines. For he that says he is in the light hates his brother, and he's in darkness even until now. For he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the light and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And if you're blinded, the devil's got you right where he wants you to be. Here's the reality. Nothing will change in your life until you begin to think differently about yourself. You've got to get your thinking in line. Amen. You know, that's why we put a lot of emphasis on confessions. You know, Pastor Mark really enjoys and likes at the end of the service to have you make certain confessions that go along with what he just preached. Why is that so important? Because you've got to get a vision. You've got to get an image of yourself that lines up with God's Word. And the first way that you do that is dealing with your thought life. And it comes across by making certain confessions. Nothing will change in your life until you begin to think differently. I'm smart. I'm good looking. I'm important. You might be laughing, but I'm smart, I'm good looking, and I'm important goes a long ways. 1 Corinthians 14:20, Paul said this at the end of his letter. He said, brethren, be not children in your thinking or in your understanding. Be infants in evil. If you're going to be childish in something, be childish in evil. But he says, but in your thinking, be mature. I like it one place it says, put away childish thinking. In other words, grow up, be mature in your thinking. Isaiah 26:3 says, for you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You've got to develop a mind that is stayed on the Word of God. And I guarantee you, as you begin to do that, things will begin to fall in line. Amen? So talking about your thinking. Well, the second place self-worth continues on is with the words of your mouth. And again, we just talked about your confession. So once you change the way you're thinking, then it's important to begin to speak differently about yourself. Again, we're talking about the second commandment. Love God, but love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. The way that you begin to love yourself is first get your thinking in line, and then number two, the words of your mouth. In other words, stop agreeing with the devil. See, the devil would love nothing more than to get your thoughts in the area of reasoning, but then to get your words along the same path. So you got to stop agreeing with the devil. I love Brother Hagin said one time, he said, if you're defeated in life, you've defeated yourself with the words of your mouth. Think about that. So if you're ever at the tail end of something and your things aren't going the way that they need to go, then what should you do? Check up on your love walk. Check up on what you're saying. Huh? That's really what we're talking about here. If you're defeated in life, you've defeated yourself with the words of your mouth. You ever notice when you have a mind that's dominated with the devil, few people care to hear what's on your mind? Man, think about that. You ever been around, sitting around the table or sitting on the couch listening to somebody, and the more they talk, the more you locate where they are? You know exactly where they are. There's certain that we've been around people in our life when you can sit down and listen to them, and the more that you listen, you know exactly where they are spiritually. And I'll say this much. Most of the time when they're at that position, I don't want to hear one thing that's coming out of their mouth. Huh? You've been around somebody that doesn't agree with you spiritually? You care anything about what they have to say spiritually? Well, let me give you a little advice. I don't want to hear it from you. Huh? I have a friend of mine called me up today. He's a Baptist pastor in town. Great man. Love him. Known him for years and years. And he called me up and he said, hey, he said, I'm wanting to do some things different with our discipleship program. He said, I'd like to know what you use. You know, what do you do for new believers? What do you do for, you know? And so I started sharing with him some books that we use around here. You know, if somebody gets born again, we give out, you know, Brother Hagin books. We give out In Him and Why Tongues. And we also give out some Charles Capps books. And so I started going through this stuff. And he said, well, I'd like to come look at that. So he come over and I was talking to him. And I said, now, brother, I said, you know where you are? He said, I know where I'm at. He said, you know, he said, I wouldn't come into your church and expect you to be Baptist. I said, okay. I said, well, we believe in this stuff, and we believe in speaking in tongues, and we believe in confession, and we believe. He said, well, he said, it's in the Bible, isn't it? And I said, it is. Well, as we were talking about those things, you know, he started talking about the importance of confession, the importance of lining up your words with what the Word of God says, and you know, the thing about it is you can locate somebody by what they're saying. And so that's, you know, we started preaching to each other because I told him I was going to be talking along these lines. And he said, well, actually, I've been talking along those lines too. So we, you know how, I don't know if you've been around preachers much, but we preach at each other. You know, if you're eating dinner with a preacher, you're hearing the next sermon coming out of their mouth. And so we began to talk to each other out here in the lobby and began to preach at each other and talking about the importance of your word. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, your words have meaning. Your words have meaning. Your words will get you down the road or they'll pull you back. Isn't that what Proverbs 6:2 says? It says, you are snared or you are trapped with the words of your mouth. You're taken with the words of your mouth. Listen, your words dominate you. Your words dominate you. So if you don't have anything good to say, shut your mouth. Huh? At least get your thinking in line to where when you open up your mouth, something good's going to come out. What is it Brother Hagin used to say? Thoughts may come and they may persist in staying, but if you refuse to put those thoughts into words, they die unborn. Boy, that's a powerful statement right there. Thoughts may come and they may persist in staying, but if you refuse to put those thoughts into words, they die unborn. Let me put it this way. Don't ever talk failure. Don't ever talk lack. Don't ever talk sickness. Heard somebody say one time, failures are man-made. How do you know that? Because God didn't come up with it. Failures are man-made. They're the result of wrong believing, wrong thinking, and wrong speaking. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always... What's the opposite of always? Never. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So if you're not triumphing, if you're not victorious, whose fault is that? It's not His. Are you with me? It's not win a few, lose a few. Well, we won a few victories, you know. We're gonna lose a few too. Do you know that's not the way God thinks? And that's just one passage of Scripture. He always causes us to triumph. So if you're not living on the victory side of life, then you need to get your words in line. You need to get your thinking in line. You need to look at what you're believing. Amen. Listen, what you do during an attack or a challenge will determine whether you triumph or whether you fail. What you do, talking about what you say. He went on to say this, faith's confessions creates realities. Confession precedes possession. So if you want to possess something, if you want to achieve something, then it starts with your believing, it moves on to your thinking, and then ultimately it commences in, what are you saying? What are you saying? The number one key to overcoming any problem in life is believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. Well, you know that if you're born again. Right? What is it Romans chapter 10 says? Again, you know this if you're born again. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8 through 10 says, but what does it say? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with confession it is made unto salvation. It's not enough to just know that God saves. Well, I believe He saves, so I believe I'm healed. I believe He saves, and so I believe I'm saved. I believe He heals, so I believe I'm healed. Well, I believe He causes me to be victorious, so you can think that in your heart. You can agree with everything that this Bible has to say. But if you don't confess it, it doesn't become a reality to you. You know, this is one of the most important things that you could ever get a hold of. Because growing up, like I've said before, you know, my mama had us in church. And you know, I went to church on Monday. How many of you went to church on Monday? My mama took me to church on Mondays. Sundays, Mondays. We'd go to revival meetings. So I knew, you know, I knew about the Word. But it wasn't until I got into college that I began to get the revelation that it's not just enough to know the book. You've got to put it into action. You've got to say something. You've got to do something. Then it becomes a reality to you, and then you begin to achieve the things that are written to you. Again, don't lose sight. We're talking about love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about getting a hold of this stuff for yourself. Notice two things. Number one, a man believes in his heart. And then number two, he believes his words. You believe in your heart, but you also believe your words. So what are we talking about? You got to get God to work for you by believing in your own words, and your words have to speak the faith that is in your heart. Did you get that? See, the word of God is in your heart and on your lips, so it gives you power over every challenge and causes you to walk victoriously over every area of your life. So, why are we saying all this? If we're talking about loving others as yourself, then the words that you say about yourself matter. So you can't, you got to quit putting yourself down. Four things, real quick. Number one, stop putting yourself down. You know, that rubs you the wrong way whenever you hear somebody else doing it. Well, I'm just stupid. I'll never account to anything. Nothing ever happens to me. Boy, as Christians, as believers, as Word of Faith people, man, we rise up. We're like, hey. But yet we do that. We do that all the time with ourselves. Well, we just don't, you know, we just don't have enough money for that. We're just going to have to do without. Stop putting yourself down. Number two, avoid negative exaggerations. What are you talking about? Well, I'll never get that job. That job never goes to people like me. I'm never going to get married. Never going to find somebody that loves me. I'm always the last one chosen. Negative exaggerations. But actually, what you need to do is you need to cultivate the habit of thinking big according to the Word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He always causes me to triumph. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. All of a sudden you begin to think differently about yourself, and you begin to take an affection for yourself, and you begin to see yourself different, and then you begin to love yourself. And so then whenever you possess that for yourself, then you can give it to somebody else. But again, you cannot give what you don't first possess. Are you with me? Yes. Number four, start speaking God's word over yourself as part of your daily confession. What are we talking about? If you're going to love yourself, remember he said all the law is fulfilled. On all the law is fulfilled. And he says on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, if you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, all these other things are going to fall in the line. So how do you do that? Stop putting yourself down. Avoid negative exaggerations. Here's another thing. Accept compliments. Accept compliments. You know, there's a lot of people that have a problem with that. I'll get done here tonight and I'll walk down here and inevitably somebody's going to come up to me and they're going to say, man, that was so good. That blessed me. And I hope you do. Because, you know, even I like to hear that. Well, Pastor, that was okay. Did you know one time, now this has been many, many years ago, but I had been in the ministry for a little while. But I had somebody come up and they thought they were giving me a compliment. They said, man, you're not as dry as you used to be. I said, thank you? I mean, what do you do with that? Huh? No matter who you are, you like to hear a compliment, right? But you need to learn to say thank you. You need to learn to accept that compliment. There's people that cannot accept compliments. There's people that no matter what you say to them, man, you look sharp today. You look put together. Man, you really did a good job singing today. That really blessed me. I don't have much of a talent. Man, you really impressed me the way you did this thing. Well, you know, I'm not the best one out there. Well, you know, I try. No. If you're going to love yourself and you're going to pass that on to somebody else, you got to start thinking of yourself highly. And how can you do that? Be honest in the estimation of yourself. And how are you estimating yourself? By God's word, not by anybody else. Be honest in the estimation of yourself, and your estimation is based on Him. Isn't that good? Glory to God. Everybody stand to your feet. So stop putting yourself down, avoid negative exaggerations, accept compliments, and then start speaking God's word over yourself as part of your daily confessions. Whenever you do that, then all of a sudden you're acting on Matthew 22 when it says, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you love yourself tonight? Amen. Again, that's not a prideful thing. That's not a prideful thing. That's not a conceited thing. That's just knowing who you are in Christ. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I love myself. I love me some me. I have no problem saying that because I know who I am in Christ. I know that if it were based on my ability and where I came from and what I could do, guess what? I wouldn't amount to much at all. No, it's in Christ. It's in what He's done for me. It's totally about what He's done for me. And so because of that, I love myself. And because I possess that love, then I can give that to somebody else. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we're so thankful for your word. As always, it's life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to believe it and act on it. So we act on it. Glory to God. We're hearing what your word says, so we grab a hold of it. We're changing the way we think, and as a result, we're also changing the way we speak about ourselves. So we thank you. We walk in love towards others. We thank you that we think highly of ourselves because your word challenges us to and instructs us to. So, Father, we thank you. We can accomplish anything. We can do all things because you strengthen us. You cause us to triumph. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we go in that confidence, ready to tackle every one of life's challenges, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Praise God. God bless you. We love you. Stay and pray if you can. We love you. You're dismissed. Amen.